Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
I am Troy Shockley, and this is the Coffee Break Podcast. Thanks for joining our chat today. Coffee Break brought to you by Cochrane Insurance. We are chatting this morning with the executive director of the Friendship Center. She's Jenny Eck. Jenny, we've got you on the phone and not in the studio today, but I'm really glad to have you on the show again.
Thanks for having me again. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, if for those that are unaware, can you introduce yourself a little bit and explain the Friendship Center and what it is that the Friendship Center does?
Sure. So the Friendship Center is a nonprofit in Helena. We serve those impacted by domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking. And we're the only organization doing this in the Tri-County area of Lewis and Clark, Broadwater, and Jefferson counties. So big, huge area that we serve. But we do serve a lot of clients, might be surprised by the numbers. And we have a shelter and we provide or help with a lot of other services as well. That's the very short version.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you've been there for a little while now.
Yeah, I've been there a couple years. About 2 years ago this past summer. So, and it's been quite an education, a great opportunity. I spent 6 years in the legislature before doing this, and it's really nice to be doing direct service and seeing impact.
Yeah,
yeah. My work.
Actually, you know? See what's happening rather than just working on the words on the bills. Yeah. I mean, it's something that continues to be so necessary in our community. And you really do serve a lot of people in various, you know, various crises. I mean, this is a needed thing.
It absolutely is. You know, before I started this position, I had no idea the kind of numbers that we see in our community in terms of people who are being victimized by domestic and sexual violence, but it is significant. Last year, we provided over nearly 11,000 nights of safe shelter, so that gives you a sense of the need to people who, again, these are people who are only qualifying, right? So they are people who've been impacted by domestic or sexual violence. We served 670 clients last year.
Wow. Yeah. And sadly, that's not the, well, there's 670 incidences in the Tri-County area. That not everything that happens, those people do not come to you. I mean, unfortunately. Yeah. So we know that number is larger.
We do. Yeah. Those are the ones who came to us and asked for help. But we do know that those numbers are much higher. And, you know, like I've said before, we've also saw an 85% increase in sexual assault last year over the previous year. So that's a crime that we're seeing a lot more of. And that's, you know, one where we're not sure if it's because people are reporting more or because it's happening more. We think it's probably potentially both, but that is something that we're seeing a lot more of too.
Jenny, how do our numbers sort of compare to whether it's regionally, statewide, nationally? I mean, where are we on that line graph?
You know, I think we've tracked pretty well with what the national averages are. The national average as far as domestic violence goes is that 1 in 4 women and 1 in 10 men will be a victim of domestic violence in their lifetime. And we're not immune to those numbers, unfortunately, here in our own community.
Yeah, we're talking with Jenny Eck this morning. She's out at the Friendship Center, and I'm guessing that your service is more needed than ever right now. All the stressors around COVID, there's some fatigue setting in. There's job loss. There's a lot of things that this thing is causing, and all of those are potential triggers for violence of various forms, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the primary things we see in domestic violence and sexual assault situations is isolation, where the abuser isolates their victim as a way of maintaining power and control and also being able to continue to abuse. And as we all know, you know, COVID is contributing to increased isolation. So it is a risk factor that's being exacerbated. And as you said, I mean, increased stress, when you're looking at violence, economic stress or stress, worries about the future, what we're seeing a lot now is that we're seeing violence increasing more quickly. So sometimes it can take a while in relationships for them to escalate into severe violence. And we're seeing that escalation is happening more rapidly and in a more intense way in a shorter time frame. So I do think that the way that the pandemic is playing out is intensifying what are already, you know, hard situations.
Are you hearing from, I mean, I suppose I know the answer. I mean, are you hearing from people right now? Are you seeing that increase?
So the way, yes, so the most important thing that I, if I had one message that I could leave your audience with, is that we are open, we are providing our services, and we do provide, we have a hotline, a crisis hotline, and we provide services 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're always on call. And while our numbers have not increased overall, I think what part of that is because during the lockdown, we saw such a quieting. And it, again, it's not because it wasn't happening, but there was that, you know, 4 to 6 week period where everyone was just locked in their homes and not really communicating. And we know that during that period, you know, our phones really stopped ringing overall. It was kind of eerie how it happened. So we've seen a big uptick in, as, you know, people have gotten out and about and are moving around more. So our overall numbers don't show a huge bump, but like I said, we're, you know, seeing it increase now, and, you know, we're seeing this sort of element of increased violence.
Jenny Ack is the executive director of the Friendship Center. And Jenny, you mentioned the phones and the hotline. We talked about that yesterday on the show. We had Emily McVeigh in with the United Way of the Lewis and Clark area and mentioned that we talked briefly about the hotline, and you have a training coming up. Can you explain, I guess, first off, sort of what the hotline is and just how that works?
Sure. So, yeah, our hotline is, the number is 442-6800, and I'm sure we'll say it throughout the show today. But we have volunteers who are the primary staff on the hotline when our offices are closed. So, you know, our offices are open Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5, Friday, 9 to 4. When we have staff in the office, and staff are the primary responders on the hotline. In the hours that we're not open to the public, we have volunteers who are the primary responders. We always have staff on backup, but we have incredible volunteers who have gone through an extensive training with us to be qualified to take these calls, and they take shifts. And that is immeasurably important, critical to the work that we do, because it allows us to make sure that no matter what time of day, no matter what time of night, no matter whether it's Christmas or Halloween or anywhere in between, there's always someone to call. And so we do have a training coming up, and it is something that we take really seriously, because obviously being able to answer a call like that, you need to be prepared if you have somebody calling in who's been assaulted. So we do have our volunteers go through a great training, and we have one coming up in November, and I'm happy to give the dates and times on those if that would be helpful.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic.
Okay, so this is, it's going to be kind of a combined live training, video conferencing, and online training. And it'll be starting November 2nd, which is a Monday, and it'll be from 5:30 to 7:30 on the 2nd, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. on the 5th, and then on Saturday the 7th, 8:30 to 5:30, and on Sunday the 8th, 8:30 to 5:30. So those are the sort of, you know, live part of the training, and then there's, like I said, going to be a lot of options for people to do the remote video conference recorded trainings as well. So if anyone's interested in doing that, they can contact Gina or Sarah at that same number that I gave. It's 442-6800, and we are always in need of people who are passionate about this work.
Yeah, so who can do that? Who is that ideal person behind the phone? Obviously, it's not an easy volunteer job. You're not painting a fence, right? I mean, this is not a mindless, yeah. You know, this is something that's going to take a lot of mental energy and some compassion. And but who is right for this?
Well, I think, you know, people sort of self-identify, people who care about these issues, who care about the victims of these crimes and making sure that they have someone safe to talk to. The people that volunteer for us, a lot of times they're steady and even in a crisis. That's pretty important, right? You're going to pick up the phone and have someone crying on the other line, potentially telling you some pretty disturbing things. And so being able to listen and stay grounded and centered and hear and then respond. But I wouldn't say that there's, you know, one type of person. People come from all backgrounds and all walks of life. And it's just, for whatever reason, whether it's their own personal experience or just a general interest in helping out, they feel a heart calling to do this work. And it is really, you know, for those of the ones who've done it, we've got many volunteers who've been doing it for years who find great meaning in being able to help others in this way.
And my assumption is that you can, folks that want to volunteer for this, they can work it around their availability. So if someone's saying, I only have an hour a week, I don't know if that's enough, that's okay, right?
Well, typically people take shifts, and so okay. We can kind of work out the shift, but usually a shift is at least an overnight. So, you know, they'll pick up the phone when we close our doors at 5, and they'll have it until we open again at 9 in the morning. And so a lot of times someone will take a shift. If they can't take it, sometimes they'll take it for 4 days. Sometimes they'll take it for 5. Sometimes they'll take it for a weekend or just a holiday. I would say probably once in a while it might be for a couple hours, but generally we're looking for folks to
So this is a little bit more of a commitment of, mm-hmm. you know what, I have some time to give.
Yeah, and it's, you know, you're on call, right? So you're carrying a phone. It doesn't mean you're on the phone all the time, but it means that you're available to the phone so that if that call comes in, you can drop everything and respond to that call. So so it's not like you're on the phone from 5 p.m. mm-hmm. to 9 a.m., but there are nights. I mean, I did a shift last week where I had a busy 2 to 4 a.m. couple of hours where calls were coming in, and then there's nights where, you know, nothing comes in at all. It just really depends.
Yeah. We're talking today with Jenny Eck from the Friendship Center, and we do have to take a break. So we'll go ahead and do that now, and then we'll come back. We're going to talk about their Face the Violence campaign. Unfortunately, it's a necessary thing, and we're going to raise some money to help them do what they're doing. So stick around. Important stuff coming up after the break. I just wanted to step away from the show for a few seconds to tell you that if you miss an episode, you can always catch up. We're on iTunes, so find our show there or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Local and area events, city, state, and national officials, your neighbors doing incredible things. We talk to them all on Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
In today's always-on world, your business demands a simpler approach to network security. At Blackfoot Communications, we deliver state-of-the-art security solutions, from the perimeter to endpoint devices and remote data backup, for businesses across Montana. Ensure your company's network is online all the time. For more information, visit goblackfoot.com/security.
Welcome back in. This is Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley, and Jenny Eck is with us today. She's the executive director of the Friendship Center, and we mentioned right before the break, Jenny, the Face the Violence campaign. Right now, there's a video that people can go and watch, and the numbers there, you mentioned the number of 670, but this video kind of breaks down those numbers a little bit further than that. It's pretty stark when you hear the numbers.
It is, yeah. The numbers are surprising, yeah.
So explain the Face the Violence campaign. What is this? Did we lose Jenny?
We may have.
we may have just lost Jenny. I'm not sure if she had a bad connection or if our phone line had a bad connection. We might do that whole giving her a call on my cell phone and doing the speakerphone thing, and I don't know, because this is an important thing, and we want to make sure that we get this information out to you, because it's not one that we're going to go and just play another segment. And I could kind of, I could give you some numbers, but they're not going to be, it's not going to be the same as coming from Jenny. She obviously knows them. So we're going to give her a call. We're going to see how this works here. This is live radio. Hey, Jenny, how are you? That's okay. It may be maybe our phones. We had to do this once before, so we're going to do it again. Folks can just turn up their radios a little bit. I've got you on speakerphone on my cell phone, and then we're going to crank that into the mic here in the studio. Because this, I was telling them as I was calling you, I mean, this is an important thing, and we don't want to miss this. Can you explain, Jenny, what the Face the Violence campaign is? What's it all about?
So the Face the Violence campaign is raising awareness about the violence in our community. We are especially focused on it in October because October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Typically in October, we do a big luncheon where we have clients who come and speak about their experiences and the help they've received from the Friendship Center. And we play a video about our services obviously this year having a luncheon with 500 people would be a bad idea. So instead we are doing the Face the Violence campaign, which is largely virtual. We're running radio ads and we're doing a lot on social media. We did have another video produced this year, which is available on our website, on YouTube, and we're pushing it out through social media. But we're really just trying to make our community aware that we're facing a pandemic. You know, not only are we facing a coronavirus pandemic, but when you look at these numbers around domestic and sexual violence, it's another pandemic that we're facing. And the best way for us to address it is to bring these issues out of the shadows through awareness, through education. And so we're really focused on not only raising awareness, but also raising money so that we can continue to do the work that we do.
Yeah. And there is a bit of, I don't know if stigma is the right word, but we've been talking with the folks at Intermountain here in the last little while about the stigma attached to seeking out professional help and mental health and that sort of thing. Is there some sort of sense of that as well, of this is just something we don't talk about?
I think so. I mean, I think, you know, in the past, it was always sort of this idea around, like, keep it in the family. I think there's a huge shift culturally, thank goodness, around that, where we all recognize it's not the victim's fault. It's not something that the victim needs to be ashamed of, that, you know, this can happen to anyone in any demographic, in any income range, and that we just need to talk about it and address it. But I do think culturally in the past, that has been something that was harder to talk about, and we're working really hard to change that culture.
Yeah, and it's something, as we mentioned before, that we don't think about in our community. We think this is Montana, this is Helena, but 670 clients last year, that's a big number. It is happening here.
It's absolutely happening here. When we run a 13-room shelter, more beds actually than 13, but we have women and children who stay with us. And, you know, we've had that shelter consistently full for years. We've had to cut back our numbers this year due to COVID, and we've put people up in hotels a lot more, trying to keep our numbers under control just in terms of preventing infection. But we're, you know, still seeing the same numbers. We're just putting people up in hotels and Airbnbs to some degree. So yeah, it's not abating big numbers, and you know, it's not always obvious. Mm-hmm. So we're also trying to get the word out about what to look for and what to do if you feel like someone you know and care about is being impacted by this types of violence.
Yeah, Jenny Ack with the Friendship Center, our guest today, and as you said, you can't, you know, typically you have your fundraiser luncheon, and that's not something we can do right now. But we're still trying to raise money for all this. We talked with Emily yesterday from the United Way about how nonprofits really kind of struggling how to figure out how to do this right now. So what does this look like for you?
So what we're doing is we're having volunteers who we're calling spotlights, because they're shining a light on violence, and we're asking them to host events, small events among their close circle, and that might be in person, it might be virtually. They might do a little outdoor, you know, gathering of 10 people, or maybe they'll call 10 of their friends, or maybe they'll do a virtual event. And then I'm coming and talking about what we do, and we're playing the video, and they're, you know, raising money one-on-one like that. So that's one way. We're also, you know, broadcasting the information so people can go to our website and go to thefriendshipcenter.org /donate, and you can participate just by logging in there and making a contribution. But yeah, I mean, the pandemic doesn't mean that we don't still have to raise money. It means it's harder to raise money. It's harder for us to engage people, for sure. But we, you know, we have to keep providing our services, and we're committed to doing that. But we can't do it without the help of our community.
Right. Well, and certainly a part of that is raising awareness. I mean, it's one thing to say, hey, you know, this is what we do, we need help. But you're really trying to do what we're doing this morning and talk about the fact that this happens in our community and explain. I mean, during the luncheon, typically you have clients tell their stories, right?
Yeah, which is always really powerful to hear a client tell firsthand how they ended up coming to the Friendship Center, what their experience was in their home life, and then that road to hope, to getting away from their abuser and starting their lives over. And that can look different for each person. But typically it starts with having the courage to leave, which is dangerous and difficult. And then, you know, imagine just giving everything up, your home, your life at back where you're from. I mean, even if it is violence, it's home. And so being able to start over, move your kids, potentially go to a new school district, and then get a job that allows you to start saving money, that, you know, getting therapy, getting help, getting order of protection, potentially help with a divorce. I mean, there's so many layers to escaping violence and, you know, the mental control that abusers can have. It can be really, really difficult. And so it's very powerful to hear from people who've walked that walk that sometimes can take decades to get to a place of hope and a life free from violence.
Yeah. Jenny Eck is the executive director of the Friendship Center, and they've got a fundraiser campaign going on right now. And we're looking, you know, one of the numbers that you throw out on the video, $100 for every one of the 670 clients. What would that money do? What would, you know, one donation of $100, what would that do?
$100 can go a long way. $100 can pay for a hotel room and food for a night for somebody who is fleeing immediate violence. $100 allows us to buy someone a phone, a burner phone that they can use safely with minutes that they can use that will allow them to call us where their abuser can't track them. $100 will pay for two crisis counseling sessions with one of our crisis counseling advocates. So, you know, we are a thrifty nonprofit. We make every penny stretch, and just know that whatever money is donated, it is going to these essential services for people who absolutely need it in order to be able to leave the situation that they're in.
Yeah, that money, I know people hearing what it is that you do and the scope of things that you do, they think, well, you know, I've only got $25 or $50 or, you know, $100. It sounds like a small amount, but it really does go a long way.
It goes a long way. And I'm also excited to say that we're a third of the way towards our goal. I mean, our goal this year with the Face the Violence campaign is to raise $100 for each person that we served last year. So 670 donations of $100, or if somebody gives $20, then, you know, we're working our way up that way. But we are a third of the way there, and it's, you know, we're in the first week of October, so we're really excited about the way our community is stepping up, and we just really hope that over the coming weeks we can get all the way where we need to be so we can keep our shelter open and keep providing legal support and keep providing counseling and a hotline and everything else that we do.
Yeah. So how can people get that to you, Jenny? If there's listeners going, you know what, that's me, I want to help. How do they do that?
Well, you can log onto our website, thefriendshipcenter.org/donate. That's one way. Just click on the donate button and it's really easy to make a contribution that way. You can also send a check to the Friendship Center. We're at 1430 North Sanders in Helena, 59601. So those would be the easiest ways. Also, people can come by. Our front door is locked, but if you ring the doorbell, someone will answer and we can get donations from you that way as well. So whatever suits you, we just greatly appreciate it and will go a long way to meeting our mission.
We're talking with Jenny Eck from the Friendship Center here on Coffee Break today. We've got about 3.5 minutes left with her, and I want to at least touch on, Jenny, something that you mentioned to me earlier this morning is that you, of course, help victims of stalking, and that's something that's a little bit not well understood. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, I think stalking is oftentimes kind of gets forgotten because we're so focused on talking about sexual and domestic violence, but you know, stalking used to be thought of as kind of a lesser crime, and now we're recognizing that stalking is very much something that we have to take seriously because it's very connected to escalating violence. In fact, stalking often precedes intimate partner homicide. In 85% of completed homicides and 75% of attempted homicides, there was at least one episode of stalking in the prior year. So when we see someone who's being stalked, we take it very seriously because we know that it correlates with an abuser who is becoming increasingly obsessed and increasingly dangerous. And so it's a harder crime to identify because it doesn't necessarily look the same depending on what the situation is. But essentially, stalking is when the abuser is following the person potentially virtually, potentially in person, trying to keep track of them, wanting to know where they are, obsessing about them, and making sure that they know that. So the story that I always tell is about a victim who what had left her abuser. She'd moved to an undisclosed location. She got up in the morning to go to work. She got into her car, unlocked her car, and she looked in a cup holder, and there was a steaming cup of Starbucks coffee prepared just the way she liked it, with her abuser's pet name written on the cup. Wow. And that might seem like, if she were to call 911, that wouldn't seem like a crime. But for her, it meant that he knew where she lived. He still could get into her car, and he wanted her to know that he knew where she was. And so, you know, 20 years ago, maybe that would have been something that would have been hard for her to get help with. But now, law enforcement and advocates like us, we recognize how serious that is, and we take it very seriously. So that's one of the services that we provide, is if someone is dealing with stalking, we absolutely are ready and prepared to help them come up with a safety plan.
Yeah, it's an incredibly scary thing. I've got a friend who just very recently was having some issues with cyber stalking, and, you know, talking with her, the effects that had on her, a very squared away person. It's a scary thing. It's a serious thing. And it's like everything else that we've been talking about this morning. Sadly, that's happening in our community. There's various forms of violence and stalking happening. So, Jenny, thank you so much for taking time with us this morning and for doing what you do. It's an incredibly needed service in our community. I hate that we have to say that, but it is. And you're doing great work.
Well, thank you for bringing awareness and attention to it. I always appreciate, Troy, your interest and your willingness to let us share this message. So thank you so much for your time.
Yeah. Real quick, we've got like 20 seconds, Jenny, for people that want to get information, get you money, whatever, to find out about the hotline, help, whatever it is. How do they do that?
442-6800, 406-442-6800 is our hotline number. It's our main number during weekdays as well, so people can call us there. And our website, again, is thefriendshipcenter.org/donate if you want to donate, but you can get lots of information at thefriendshipcenter.org.
Jenny Ack with the Friendship Center, our guest. That's all the time we have. We'll see you tomorrow. I'm Troy Shockley, and that's it for Coffee Break today. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. Head on over. Give us a review there. That's always much appreciated. Or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you back here tomorrow.